And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
I kind of feel silly singing with these guys here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know what? As dumb as I feel singing in front of country singers or music industry people.
Well, you know, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, and your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens during warm-up, like what we just did. Castrol GTX Magnatec has intelligent molecules that cling to your engine like a magnet, and it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. It's the smart call, man. Go ahead and check it out. Castrol GTX Magnatec, as we are from the Castrol GTX Magnatec studios. You can see the sign in the background if you're watching on Facebook.
Where's it at?
Oh, it's right there. You can't see it?
No. Where's gold?
Oh, it's not really a gold, but it is something that I kind of have to play here because it's important. Have you guys seen this video?
No. Yeah. They made it. What do you mean?
No, but you know what I mean. Today is the Marine Corps' birthday. And it's the best video. They're just shooting and blowing stuff up. It's great. What is that right there? We need that gun. The one that goes...
That's a minigun.
I need that. The minigun is what I need.
That's what you need.
I do.
Joining us in studio is Staff Sergeant Joshua Washington. Hello, Staff Sergeant Washington.
How are you doing today?
Wonderful. And also Sergeant Justin Plymaster is joining us as well. Hey, man.
How you doing? Appreciate
good to see you. We're going to call you Sergeant P.
That works.
And Staff Sergeant Washington.
That works.
Moving forward, you shall refer to me as Commandant.
Got him.
And you can refer to him as the potato... cleaner guy. Anyway.
they don't even do that anymore.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, they haven't cleaned potato or sliced potatoes since, like, well, forever?
I don't know. Yeah, was that ever a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. We have a job for it, actually.
So it is a thing. So it's still around.
Oh, so somebody can actually join the Marines and say, that's what I want to do, is I want to be a potato peeler?
Well, a cook. They can become a cook.
Yeah, but does the cook actually have to slice the potatoes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think our point being is that we've always thought that it was like
TV
penalty.
Stuff.
Yeah, like a punishment. Yeah, that's what TV says, right? That's what it shows us. But
that's not true.
No, like the biggest thing with that, I mean, most of our cooks and everything like that, like they're actually culinary arts. Like that's what they do. They actually fix the food for all of us, like all the chow halls and stuff. So, like that's part of their job.
The culinary chefs, you make it sound like it's really, really great food.
It's not bad.
Really?
Like, we're pretty big guys. I mean, we eat it. I'm pretty picky, so, I mean.
All right. Do you have a menu? Or is it what it is?
It changes every day.
But you have a choice?
Yeah. Every base, like, they'll have a buffet style on one side, and then you have, like, fast chow. So, like, hamburgers, pizza, stuff like that.
So it's like school?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, but better. A lot better than, like, school.
Just better than school.
A lot different quality than school.
And do you have to, you have assigned seating?
No. We don't have assigned seating.
By the way,
do they still put the bad kids in the front of the class?
I guess it depends on where you're going. Like, I guess if it's a school, I guess you're not good. They're going to put you in the front. So
we will be asking many, many dumb questions.
Oh, it's fine.
We appreciate the patience.
No, that's perfectly fine.
So you don't have assigned seating. You go in. Do you have assigned time when you go eat?
It also depends on your job. So, like, for me, I'm an expeditionary airfield specialist. So I build airfields. I catch aircraft in the Marine Corps. Our job schedule is a
you
little
catch
bit.
Catch aircraft?
I do, yes. So any aircraft with like a tail hook. So any fighter jet and stuff.
Right.
Just like the aircraft carriers. I do that on the ground for the Marine Corps.
Why would you need to? A short runway?
That could be a part of it. Or maybe you have a wet deck. So they can't stop. Their brakes aren't going to stop.
Hey, Patrick, he said wet deck.
I saw like a couple days ago or maybe a couple weeks ago, they had that Air Force Thunderbirds guy landed on a wet runway and he flipped. Mm-hmm. Because he was sliding around.
Yeah.
So that's what you're stopping.
Yeah, it's actually a thing. And I'm able to stop an aircraft doing 200 mile an hour and like less than 800 feet.
Oh, wow.
So we can actually do that. But like for us, we work 24 hours on, 24 hours off sometimes. So the chow hall is open all the time. So you're able to go out and say, hey, I'm going to go get chow at like midnight. So we go
that's
do that.
So awesome. Can you go as much as you want?
And you can get as much as you want whenever you're there.
Oh,
so three
yes.
times a day.
Yes. I would throw it up so fast.
Isn't that sad?
The first day I'd be like, I can't believe they get as much as you want, Bubba.
You can, all you can eat. Need join the Marines. All
come
you can
on,
eat.
Man. Great. 5 minutes later.
Tommy wants to know, are you guys Pendleton or Paris Island?
Paris Island.
Both of you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Did you guys know it? Did you guys see each other?
We did not. No, sir.
You're just assuming that they went through at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're here?
Did I tell you we're going to be asking many dumb questions? Yeah. So, you know, this whole thing is going to be very, very ludicrous to you guys.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay, good. That's our lifestyle.
All right.
That's what we do.
So if someone is wanting to get into the Marine Corps, what's the spiel? First off, you guys do a lot of going out to schools, and I mean, it's hands on. You guys
students.
Are out in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go out every day. So each of us as recruiters, we have a different area that we cover, part of like central, like Middle Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So like every school, we'll go out and talk to the students, the teachers, all the staff, make sure that they're informed about what we actually do and the educational opportunities that we have as well. Because a lot of people don't think you can go to college while you're in the military, but it's one of the great things that you can. It's free. So why not, right?
Do the educational opportunities vary from state to state?
No.
So whatever you're talking about, wherever somebody may be watching the podcast or listening to the podcast, the things that you're going to bring up are available to them wherever they are.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Did you guys do that? Did you go through – how did you do it?
So, like, for me, I waited a little bit after school, about 6 years, actually. I was out of school doing my thing, working, just making some money. But then I was like, I need something else. I want to be able to take care of myself, my wife, and everything like that. I knew the Marine Corps could do that. So I was 23 years old whenever I enlisted. Unlike him, he was 17. So he went straight out of high school.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it was one of those things. I was like, I want to go do something different than everybody else. I ended up leaving Kentucky. We're both from the same state. But for me, I'm from a small town in northeastern Kentucky where there's not a whole lot. Like the Walmarts are far away. We have like dollar stores. That's our Walmart.
Yeah.
But I grew up on a dairy farm, and then I went and started welding and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So.
A dairy farm? Dairy you just farm. Spoke Big D's language.
Really? I've been on the raw milk kick for the last 3 weeks.
And how do you like it though?
I like it in protein shakes and. Is that what you mean, or how well do I like it?
Like how well? Do
oh
you like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's. I love it. To me, it's because I drink regular milk, mm-hmm. and it's like, my stomach sounds awful. And that's what Bubba did. He had it this morning for the first time in a while, like regular milk and pasteurized. And he's been complaining. He's been Farty McTootie over here all day. So,
it's terrible, man.
So I'm telling you, I don't have any problem. I shouldn't say any. Still a little bit, but not nearly what it was. And it's getting better. And I just get it from a farm.
Yeah.
And do about 3 gallons a week that we go through.
That's a lot of milk.
That's a lot of milk.
And, but it's, I got it partly because my youngest son is, he needs 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day. So part of that comes from that milk.
Right.
In a coffee or in a
protein
shake.
Are there more calories in a glass of raw milk than... I can't believe we have Marines here and we're talking about your raw milk thing.
What we can do.
Are there more calories in raw milk than regular pasteurized milk?
Oh, yeah. Like, most definitely, because it's pure milk. It's, so whenever they pasteurize it and everything like that, I mean, they're taking away. They're kind of watering it down.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I watched that, what's his name, Adam Ruins Everything, and he was talking about milk. Like, you can drink milk basically indefinitely past the... expiration date, because once it's pasteurized, anything that would harm you is out of it.
But it's
so it'll be curdled and sour and all that, but it won't kill you.
Right.
So in the event, and that's good to know, because you know, zombie apocalypse, whatever, you might need to drink something.
But with raw milk, it definitely it's seven to 10 days.
Well, raw milk is totally a different thing.
Yeah, it will go bad. Yeah.
But it tastes way better. And when you let it sit there for a while and it gets that cream layer on top. Joshua, you had it?
No, I haven't had it.
Do you like milk?
I do.
Mm-hmm. It's like, It's like having, like, if what's a good way of saying, like, a beer, Bubba? Give me a beer comparison.
It's like having, I don't want to say a brand, but it's like having a really bad beer. You know the ones that just taste like water that's, mm-hmm. like, flavored? And then having a real beer.
Like a real, like a Heineken
sitting,
or something?
Like sitting in a pub in Ireland and having a nice stout beer. It's the difference between that.
That's the way it is. For the milk, it's real rich. It's thicker, but it's not like you know, super thick. But it is thicker, and it tastes way better.
I'm gonna have to try it out. Yeah, one day.
The reason it tastes better is because of the butterfat. That's what it is.
I love butterfat.
That's what makes it creamy and gives it the thick texture.
Morgan is on Facebook, changing the subject a little bit. She wants to know if there will be a Marine calendar, kind of like the firefighters, but Marines.
I would probably say not.
Probably not.
You guys would sell a bazillion of those. If they did that every year, I mean, and put the money towards a Marine charity like, you know, Toys for Tots or anything like that, y'all would sell a ton. She's onto something here.
Yeah, but I think it kind of, I don't know.
And you do both. Like you go male, female, because there's 12 months, you could have 6 guys, 6 girls.
Or just do 2 completely different.
Or do 2 completely different. Anyway. Thank you, Morgan, for asking that. And a lot of people are saying happy birthday to the Marine Corps, to both of you guys, and lots of thank yous and all that are coming in as well. So it's good, man. I'm glad you guys could come in and join us today.
So, yes, sir. So, Staff Sergeant Washington, do you first off, do I need to refer to you guys with Staff Sergeant Washington, or can I say Joshua?
Whichever way you want it.
What do you prefer?
Staff Sergeant Washington.
All right. Staff Sergeant Washington. So – what is your job?
My job in the Marine Corps was infantry. What you see on TV, Marines go in and invade country. That's what I did.
Uh-huh. Is it true that the word infantry comes from back in the old, like the Middle Ages? They would send the kids in first.
No.
Like, and they say the word infant is part of infantry. I was like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that. So
no,
it's not
I never knew. I never heard
okay,
of
so
that.
The internet just, is wrong
just
again.
Going back, just going back again, guys, we'll be asking many dumb questions. Just want to refer to that.
You just can't trust the internet anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Bubba just asked, is it true that they used to send in infants?
Well, I was thinking,
that's what,
you know,
that was
saw,
his question. That's what you
I
asked.
I saw Braveheart, and you don't
is
know,
it
man.
True, guys, is it true that we used to send in kids first? Is that the
babies,
the way
send
we
send babies in first?
I don't know, dude. I'm just.
What kind of question was that?
Oh, what kind of question? You talked raw milk.
Yeah, because he's a dairy farmer. That made sense.
Big country over here.
Big, no, that's his.
That's my name. That's what everybody knows me by.
Big Country? Mm-hmm. What's his nickname?
Can I don't have one.
He doesn't have
oh,
one.
Oh, you're going to have one for it. So good. Oh, yeah, you are. Remember, you can't pick your own nickname.
Oh, no.
You have to be given a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Are nicknames a big deal in the Corps? Is it?
Well, more like call signs. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm on the aviation side, so they have all the pilots have call signs.
Yeah.
All of our jobs, like, we have different call signs for whatever we do on the airfield. So it's a little bit different for them. On the infantry side, like, they actually their call signs actually mean something. It's just not like a nickname.
Oh, gotcha. Right. What about going in? Remember the first time you got to. Paris Island, right? Is that where you went to?
Yes.
And so you're on a bus, I'm assuming?
We are on a bus. Like you said, we're both from Kentucky. I was 17 whenever I joined. My dad was actually a former Marine drill instructor. So I kind of had a clue of what was going on prior to going down to Paris Island. But, I mean, you get on the bus, and once you are actually on the island and you see the bus drive away, that's really whenever it really hits you that you are – on an island.
Like your escape route has just yeah, closed.
It just gone. Left. So, I mean, that's when it really hits you.
Is it the whole scene of like when everyone gets off the bus and you're standing in a line and you're there in your regular clothes and your goofy haircuts and street clothes and your bag, I don't know, whatever, and then it takes off and you're all just standing there in a line and then your drill, is that when your drill instructor comes up and that's the first time you meet him or
yeah.
her?
So like the drill instructor that actually meets you, like they tell you to get off the bus right then and there, everybody gets out and they jump on the yellow footprints. From right there, those drill instructors are just receiving drill instructors. So they're the ones that are kind of making everything happen once you first get there. Checking you in, making sure that they get all the paperwork and all that aligned. Now, a week later, that's when you actually meet your real drill instructors.
The drill instructors that are going to be with you for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's a whole week of like paperwork.
Yeah, like processing and all that good stuff.
Interesting. I just thought that you got off the bus and someone's yelling
at
you.
You were doing push-ups from, you know, moment one.
From day one.
It's close. It's close to that. Like, that's what it feels like. I tell everybody that I'm sending a boot camp. I'm like, hey, your first week's going to be the longest week that you have because it's literally standing in line, getting all your paperwork done, going to medical, going to dental, getting your shots and all that good stuff. And then after that, it starts moving pretty fast.
You know what I always love? I always love the before and after pictures.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You see somebody the day they leave for Paris Island and then the day they get done and they're two totally. And I'm not just talking about physically transformed. There's a look in your eyes that is completely different as well.
Yeah.
We have a big board in our office. Once they enlist in what we call the delayed entry program, we take a picture of them. And they're wearing a Marine Corps shirt right behind a Eagle Globe and Anchor on our wall. We'll take a picture of them right there. And then once they come back from boot camp, they bring in their boot camp picture, them in dress blues with the white hat. And then we put that on the board. And you can see the comparison between the two. You can see the heftier guys who've lost 20, 30 pounds. You can see individuals mature just through pictures. So it's really nice.
Yeah, are there those who that when they walk in or you see them and you're like, absolutely, this is a Marine. Do you get those or is it? I guess my question is, are Marines born or made?
Oh, they're definitely made, But I mean, there's some guys and gals that you see and you can tell they have that drive. One of the biggest success stories I've seen is one of the guys I put in the Marine Corps. He made it through the recon training not too long ago. Called me up and he was like, hey, Sergeant P, I made it. I'm like, that's awesome. But whenever I first met him, like, he just had that look, that build, that determination. He was like, I'm going to be a Marine.
You ever get somebody doughy like us that you go, there's no way, but I'll do it anyway. They want this, I'll let them go, but and then they come out and they prove you wrong?
Yeah, well, it happens a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah, our job is to actually motivate them to get to where they want to be in life. So we'll work out with them. We'll work out with them every Tuesday and Thursday and keep them motivated and eventually they will lose the weight, and then we'll work on sending them to boot camp.
Could we send Patrick to boot camp?
Yeah, you can.
Could we send him?
Too old, man.
It's a real thing. It's called Educator's Workshop. It's for any
really?
Of you guys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So our MPA, Sergeant Hatch, the one that y'all actually talked to.
Big D just opened up a can of worms.
Yeah, he did. My bad, Patrick.
No, it's actually a really great experience. It gives people and I like a chance, especially for
how long is it?
3 days.
Dude, it's just 3 days.
No way. There's no way I'm doing that.
36 hours.
Bubba can go.
I'll do it. Is it okay if I have prior medical issues?
No, see, because what it's really developed for was like the teachers at the schools and stuff like that, so they can actually get a firsthand look at what people go through at boot camp. So we'll request them to go.
Let's
we'll talk to
D.
them about it and everything.
Me and you.
Send them down there, and then whenever they get to Paris Island, they get to actually do the things that recruits get to do. And have that experience, so that way they have the knowledge of what
goes on. What are they doing?
So I mean, they'll stand in like formations.
I can do that.
They'll walk to different places.
Okay, I can't do that.
Do we have to do pull-ups?
You don't have to do any pull-ups.
D, you're good.
You walk. You get to see the recruits, and you get to see the drill instructors interact with the recruits. That way, you know exactly what happens down at Paris Island, down at Marine Corps boot camp.
So physically, it's not for this program, for like the media, yeah. It's
no.
Nothing.
No, it's not all that bad.
Oh.
It's not you get to go bad. Out on the rifle range and shoot the guns and stuff like that.
I'm not interested now. Hey, I would have liked to have gone for 36 hours to throw up a whole bunch and feel like I got hit by a bus. That would be fun.
You can do that. It comes down to you if you're actually going to do all the work. Like they'll say, hey, we're going to go do this. Not everybody can do it. They understand that. But you have the ones that are all
dude,
about
I'm
it.
Dude, I'm all about trying.
Hey,
I'm
can do
all
that,
about though. Trying. This would be all fun. Right.
What's the best put down any drill sergeant has ever said to you? What's the funny where like he said it and you're like, you're trying not to laugh, but it's so great that you're like, oh, my gosh, that's so good. That you can say that's clean.
Well, I'd say personally for me, I was a lot bigger than my drill instructors.
Yeah.
And I had one of them grab me on the arm to pull me to say, no, go over here. And I didn't move because I didn't know who it was that was pulling on me. And then he just looks at me, he's like, man, you're a big guy. He just stared me in the face. And he was like a foot shorter than me. And he's looking up at me and stuff. And I was like trying not to laugh. It didn't happen. I still laughed. I'm like, I'm not that big, though. But it happened. That's probably one of the funniest moments I had at
yeah.
camp, though.
I'd all mine were not politically correct. So
you grew up with it.
I did.
Your dad was probably all over you.
Well, my dad was a prior drill instructor, and then he became a preacher.
That's not the same thing.
Oh yeah, no. I'm still trying to figure out how he made that transition. I ask him, he's like, it's all by the grace of God, and it works. Sometimes we'll be in church and he'll be up on the pulpit and preaching, and then he starts yelling, and I'm like,
uh oh,
drill instructor's coming out.
Here goes. Here we go. But I mean, running around the church. Yep.
But I mean, it was fun growing up.
Taylor. I was going to say, Taylor wants to know, what made you guys, both of you, choose the Marines out of all the other branches?
I'll let you go.
So, I was 17, had a lot of scholarship opportunities to go to a lot of different colleges back at the time. I chose the Marine. My dad's former Marine. My brother was in the Army. My dad told me, he's like, hey, don't join the military. Don't join the Marine Corps because I'm in the Marine Corps. Don't join the Army because your brother's in the Army. Actually do the research and figure out what you want to do with your life. So I had to bust open encyclopedias and kind of look and figure out what was best for me. And ultimately the Marine Corps has brought me into where I am today. And that's why I'm 15 years later, I'm still in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm. For me, I mean, I didn't have a big military background growing up. Like, a lot of my family wasn't in the military. But I knew for me, I looked at all the branches growing up and stuff, and the Marines just stuck out to me. That was something I was always interested in. My great uncle, he was in the Marine Corps back during World War II. He fought all the way across the Pacific on the island campaign. He was there whenever they raised the flag on Mount Suribachi.
Wow.
But he never really told those stories or anything. But the day that he seen interest in me seeing the Marine Corps, something I wanted to do, those stories started to come. And that just kind of sealed the deal. I'm like, yep, this is exactly what I want to do, because I was wanting to do something totally different than anybody else around from my hometown. Everybody else was doing like the Army or National Guard. Wasn't really going away from home. But for me, it was like, let's go see what I can do. Let's see where I can go, and why not do the best thing for me? But yeah, that was my biggest reason.
Do you guys still have a part of your I remember the ad campaign that was out where it's the few, the proud, the Marines, and pulls out the sword. I'd probably not call it a sword. You guys probably call it the
saber of truth
or something.
No, it's a sword.
Okay, all right. Oh, okay. And he pulls out the sword, and he's, you know, kind of holding it. And I was like, that is bad, eh?
you want a sword.
That was like, that is is that only for your dress, like your dress uniform? And how many different dress uniforms do you have?
Oh, I mean, like the one we're in right now, this is one of our dress uniforms. This is mostly what recruiters wear. This is our dress blue Charlies. We also have our dress blue Alphas and Bravos. So, like, that's where we wear our medals.
Our jacket, the dark nice color jacket.
Okay.
The big blues jacket that we have.
The one like you see, like, when they're at the White House on duty there, right, and all that. Right.
Yeah, so that's like our formal wear that we actually wear to, like, the Marine Corps ball that we're having tomorrow.
Which, by the way, is way better than a tux.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. I mean, that a tux looks pretty. That Marine Corps, you know, dress uniform, it looks awesome.
I like that. You like that, don't you,
Bella? No, it's just instant respect, man. You see that and you go, respect.
Is it only Marines who are working the White House?
For the president, yes.
Yes.
Like, they're the ones that actually do everything with the president. The president's own.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought you guys like traded off or whatever. Like, 1 week it's Army and...
Really?
Yeah, I did. I
want to ask about that, because that's... It seems like a ceremonial position, mm-hmm. you know? You stand there, the dressed Marine stands by the door, opens the door, the president walks in, he closes it, he stands there. But that's got to be one of the... That's got to be a pretty hard job to get.
Well, it comes off of the 8th and I Marines. So they're all infantry Marines. So for them, they get chosen to do that. One of my really good friends, he's in that. He's actually in the 8th and I right now. Me and him went to boot camp together. And he's like, yeah, I got selected to go do this. He was part of the silent drill team for a while. And then he got selected to be working with the White House and actually being a part of that, being inside the White House and everything.
I mean, Like I said,
that's
got to
be
like
the biggest honor.
It's a pretty easy day. You stand in front of the door all day, and if the president walks by, you open the door, and that's it.
But there's a way to do it.
But I mean, reason you're there is if crap goes down, there's a dressed Marine with a loaded rifle standing there. That's why he's there.
You're saying when they open, they don't even look at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Watch him when they walk up. He just reaches over, it opens up, and it closes, and their head never moves. I'm like I would be like fumbling around, like hold on, trying to find a knob. Hold up, Trump. Hold up. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, got it. Go on in.
Yeah, that's you're right though, because if something does go down, you got to have some sort of military, presence, on site. And I know they got all the stuff on the roof and whatnot. It's not a secret.
Yeah, but it looks cool.
And I mean, it's a test to the Marine Corps too, because the president trusts the Marines to be there. Out of all the branches of service, he wants the Marine Corps there to be there to protect him.
Does each president get to choose?
No,
sir. Okay.
It's always the Marines.
So it's a pretty healthy competition between the branches.
It is. Yeah. We'll talk smack to each other because that's what we do. But whenever it all comes down to the end goal, like we all have our own goals that we have to do. And we all work together as a team.
It's one big family. It's one big military family. We all understand that. Yes, I'm in the Marine Corps. My brother was in the Army. Within 5 minutes of being on a phone call with each other, we're talking smack about the branches. But at the end of the day, we both know that the bigger picture is to protect the freedoms that America has.
Yeah.
I wish the rest of America would get on board with that. You know, we have the left and the right. We have shared goals. We have different ways of going about it, just like the branches of the military. And I just wish that we could openly just say, okay, we disagree on that. But, as long as you're not harming the country.
No, I don't like what you said about this thing, so I'm never having anything to do with you ever again.
I see people being so closed off and so polarized, and we've got to, we got to look at the example that the military is setting. Mm-hmm. They've got each their own way, each their own commanding or command structure, and they've got their way that they want to do it, and they all differ from each other, but yet at the end of the day, they work together.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
Okay, take me to basic. So you're on Paris Island. And the week has gone through, and you've done your paperwork, you got your shots, you got your head shaved, they made you turn your head and cough, you've done all the physical things out of the way. Mm-hmm. So now it starts with you're going to be trained now to be a Marine. Right. So let's say it's Monday morning, or it's Sunday at midnight, and are we asleep? We're asleep in the barracks. And how many are in the barracks?
That all depends. So like in the summer months, that's when you have the most majority of people going, because a lot of people are graduating from high school. So the platoons are a little bit bigger. I ended up going to boot camp June 1st, 2010, and my platoon started out with 98 people. Now, before the whole thing was said and done, we ended up with like 75, because people would get dropped for something like medical stuff or something happened. But every night you're going to get 8 hours of sleep. Like, that's the rules. Because it's a training atmosphere. Drill instructors, they don't want to see anybody get hurt. They don't want to push nobody past, that breaking point of when they're actually hurting themselves.
They want to push you up to it, but not past it.
Right. They want to challenge you in a both mental and physical way. They want to get you to where you know where your breaking point is. That way they found it, and then they can build you back up to make you even better than what you were. But every day you're going to get 8 hours of sleep. Some nights it doesn't always work that way because sometimes you just can't sleep. But every day it's a training cycle. They have a schedule they have to keep, and they're going to make sure that they get everything accomplished every day that they have on that cycle.
So you're asleep, and it's 5 in the morning or whatever. Was there a certain time?
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
Oh, 4 o'clock. Oh, wow, okay. So 4 o'clock, and is someone opening the door, and there is firecrackers.
There's garbage can.
Garbage can. They're yelling. How are you being woke up?
So a drone.
Day one.
Typically, a drill instructor is already awake because he has to do a lot of paperwork prior to actually training the recruit. So he's already awake an hour. He's already had his morning coffee. Yeah. He's ready to go. He'll walk outside. He'll open the door. He'll walk outside into the squad bay where all the recruits are sleeping. And then he'll get them up in a forceful, vocal manner. From there, he gets them online. And the thing about drill instructors is they want you to willingness, obedience to all orders. So they're going to tell you how to, when to put on your pants, when to put on your boots, when to put on your blouse, and then they're going to do it in a timely manner, because they have to get everybody to breakfast chow. So from there.
So when he walks in the door, by the time you walk out to go to breakfast, is how many seconds? Minutes.
I'd say about 5 minutes. It's about 5 minutes because he's got to get everybody dressed. He's got to get everybody into to use the restroom in the morning. He's got to get everybody back online. And then
okay,
he's
so
got to get a
I'm
count.
Sure it gets easier also the further into
oh,
it yeah. you go.
Oh, okay. Hang on a second. So how many people are in the room?
About 100.
Yeah. Okay. How many bathrooms are there?
One. How many
urinals? You fit a lot of people in there, though.
Yeah.
Okay, how many facilities allow you to go to the bathroom? Like stalls, urinals?
I'd say about 6 to 10.
Okay, all right. This is where I'm getting at. Okay, so you're saying that you wake up in a forceful, loud manner. Mm-hmm. He's yelling.
Yeah, they're going to say lights, lights, lights.
Lights, lights, lights. You're up, and you're like, you just were dreaming about your girl back home, and now you're like, oh, my God, what's going on? And mm-hmm. you're getting up. You get on the line, which I'm assuming is the line in front of mm-hmm. where you're.
Yeah, like all the racks.
Okay.
All
the bits. And then they're yelling at you, go, go, go. So everyone, it's got to be like a stampede. Everyone's running to the bathroom. Again, dumb question. Are you brushing your teeth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you brush, you shave, you do everything.
Within 5 minutes, you have gone to the bathroom, you have shaved, because you have to shave.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You
every
can't
day.
Be all no. at all.
Yeah, every day you're
you got to be clean cut. Mm-hmm. Your hair is not worried about your hair because it's a buzz already.
Yeah, it's already cut off.
It's already cut off, so you got to shave. You've got to brush your teeth.
What if you have to number two?
Yeah, what if you got to drop
gotta
a dish?
Make it happen. Better make it happen quick.
You better learn to shave your face.
Are there walls, or is it just an open urinal, just an open stall, just a toilet on the floor and open air?
I mean, they have the dividers, but there's no, like, door on the front, nothing like that.
Sweet. Yeah. All right. And then
that sounds like hell. Like, I mean, I'm like, that's horrible. You don't want to see this sitting there.
It does. It sounds worse than it is. But again, a drill instructor is there to not only train you, but also make sure you're there mentally.
I'm not saying it's awful. I think it's good. Yeah. I mean, you got to get out of that mindset, because you remember these kids are coming over and they are attached to their phones.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what it's like to have, you know, they want
to. They're used to mommy having breakfast
for them. I can't take a shower with
a bunch
of other people. Mm-hmm. I've got to have my privacy. Mm-hmm. I've got to have my oatmeal. I have to have this and mm-hmm. give me time to work. No, that's not the world.
There's no right. snooze button.
No
right.
snooze
in the Marine
button.
Corps.
And so you guys are kind of like. You know, you're the first. A lot of guys have grown up that way. They do. You know, yep. maybe not that harsh, but they got to have a little reality check. So I'm not. Don't apologize to me for it. I think it's great.
It does still sound horrible.
That
to
sounds
me.
Awful to me.
To me,
but
now,
I don't. Want, this, I don't. But we don't want our Marines this,
I was
being
say,
soft.
At this right. state of my life, that sounds terrible. Because so, I like my 15 to 20 minutes of on toilet time, where I can tweet and check email and do what I got to do.
Oh, they would have a blast with Bubba, wouldn't they?
Oh yeah.
Like, hey. Sarge, there's no door in here, and I'm trying to do my thing. Oh, that would be great.
I can have a Snapchat, a bathroom selfie.
And so then within somehow 100 men have gone to the bathroom, shaved, brushed their teeth, and now they
with,
are—
with 8 to 10 toilets.
And that's right, and dressed, mm-hmm. and yeah. now they're back on the line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting ready to go back, like go outside and get in a formation to—
5 minutes. All that happened in 5 to 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so now he comes back in the room, or he's already staying there?
Yeah, he's there the whole time.
Yelling at you the whole time. Mm-hmm. Hurry up. Why are you wasting my time?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That kind of guy. Love that. And then he says, all right, it's like in school, get the buddy system, and you head on out.
So I mean, it's not so much the buddy system.
That was a joke.
It's, you're in a formation. With all 100 individuals, we're in a formation, and the drill instructor will march you to chow. He'll sing cadence. The first day is usually just walking, get everybody walking there. And then from later on, he's going to actually start calling cadence, and you're going to start marching to child. That way everybody's on the same foot. And
let's backtrack for a second. How do we get this guy to show up at Bubba's house every day for a week?
He's right here.
No, oh, okay.
Staff Sergeant Washington.
No.
Because send you his address. Come back to me.
But I'm just saying, because Bubba hits the snooze button like 612 times every morning.
I do.
He has four different alarms. He still can't get
it. Are you kidding me? I've got like 14 different alarms. It starts an hour before I need to actually wake up.
Well, is there a bunch of different you call them songs or cadence?
Cadence.
So are there a bunch of different ones?
Oh yeah,
that they run through.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us one?
He can do it. Don't let him lie to you.
Don't let him back out.
He spent time on Paris Island. I did work down on Paris Island.
I was a primary marksmanship instructor, so I watched recruits and I trained recruits while I was down there, and I watched the drill instructors all the time.
It can't be that hard. It starts off like this. It's like,
I don't know, but I've been told.
we don't do that style cadence.
What's your style?
Ours are just left, right, left, right, just to get them in step.
Okay, but after they get into step, is it get a little fancier?
Oh, yeah.
For the drill instructors.
Yeah, drill instructors compete with that. Oh, yeah. Like, that's a competition to them.
They have a competition.
So they get to make up their
own?
It's
like the movie Stripes, where they actually have a competition.
Yeah, so if you ever watch Full Metal Jacket?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like R. Lee Emery, whenever he's actually doing the cadence and stuff, like that's what they do, but each drill instructor personalizes their own. So like whenever the recruits, they actually do a drill inspection, and they go out on a parade deck, and they're marching around. The drill instructors are getting graded on how well they've done as far as training them to be able to march. So their cadence counts, like the beat of it, the way it sounds. If they make it like into a song almost, and make it actually have a beat, it can carry a beat.
Can you throw in like song lyrics to something you like? I mean,
so you could do that, but you won't use the lyrics, but you'll use like the tune. Like I've seen
you use the tune,
do that.
You'll just use left and right.
Yeah,
as the words.
Huh.
Okay.
Easiest way is to YouTube it. That's the easiest way I can tell you to do it. Like they have competitions with it all the time.
But can you YouTube that? Can we do that legally?
I don't know. Can I?
Can he YouTube that?
I hate the laws of
podcasting.
What are we going to do? Just play it. What are they going to do?
I don't know how.
What's it?
So with music, just so you guys know, with music, it's weird. We can't play music on a podcast.
But this isn't music.
I don't think it is either.
This is just a spoken word. I like to pull some of this up because I really don't understand. I thought it was like lyrics, and now you're saying it's just left and right is the only lyrics. Okay, so it is. Left, right is the only lyric?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't sound like left and right. Like they put a twang onto it. Like you'll hear the left, but you won't hear anything else. Like it'll be just words. Like,
all right,
made
let's
up
go.
Words.
I like to pull some of this up. Because I really don't understand. I thought it was like lyrics.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm getting us on the thing.
Help! Power word! Who told you to move?
Right, left, high, low. Forward, hurt, right, no matter left, head along,
right, yo, yo, hello, right, hello, right,
head along, head
along,
hello, right. Does that make you want to get up and march around just a little bit?
You or does it give you, no. You the twitches? You're kind of like,
you're like, oh, God, here
oh,
it is.
No.
Memories.
I like the ones who do kind of do that.
Hurt, 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 hurt.
That's what I would do. I would be that guy.
Hey, as long as they understand what you're doing, you're good.
Oh, look, this guy's like, watch, he's
getting... like an auctioneer.
Like he's singing it, man. That's great.
Yeah.
So that one that you just watched, that was an actual competition.
Yeah.
Like that was retired Marines. Some of them are still active duty Marines.
Some of them are former drill instructors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they was actually competing to win a trophy for that.
So so you're eating breakfast. You have a certain amount of time to eat, I guess, right?
Yeah, fast as it goes.
Fast as
fast. Yeah. It's fast.
How much time do you typically taste?
You don't know what time it is. So at boot camp, you don't have a watch. The only person who has a watch is a drill instructor. So you don't have any like sense of time. And so what we tell everybody whenever they're going to boot camp is live chow to chow and Sunday to Sunday, because you can go to church on Sunday. There's no drill instructors at the church. But every meal is as fast as you can go, like because it's all like they're going to tell you that you have a certain amount of time, but drill instructors don't count like regular people. They make. They don't. They'll make.
I love that. You delivered that so well.
They will make 100 seconds into about 15 seconds.
Uh-huh.
They can count down from 100 in about 15 seconds.
And so, what is the food? What are you eating? What's
it's regular standard food.
Just like regular biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Every breakfast you're gonna have eggs. You're gonna have biscuits. You're gonna have bacon. Sausage.
Bacon. Mm-hmm.
Like I can't complain about the food at Paris Island. Like I said earlier, I'm a picky guy. Like. I'm a big guy, but I don't eat a lot of vegetables and stuff. But The food at Paris Island, it was legit.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You just got to eat it fast.
Yeah, you just got to eat it really quick.
You don't know what you're eating, but you're eating so much. Yeah. So then you eat it. You're hurrying up. I'm guessing this is a very similar 5 to 7 minutes. That's what this sounds
I'd
like.
I'd say at least 10.
Oh, okay. Full 10. Full 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
The whole team. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I love this. All right. So now everyone's like, oh, gosh. This is, are you talking to each other?
No.
Oh, okay. There's no talking.
No talking.
Are you straight ahead? You're sitting down and your face straight ahead and just blip, fetch can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your tray, your glass, like everything has a certain spot that it goes. Like they tell you where to put it at and then you're just looking straight ahead. You keep one hand on your... on your leg, and then you just got your fork or your spoon and the other one. You're just eating and drinking, and then that's it.
No Starbucks.
No Starbucks. No, there ain't no coffee.
There's no coffee?
No.
Wait. What kind of awful country are we?
Yeah.
So there's no coffee?
No.
No coffee.
Ooh. Wow.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay. You got to remember, you're dealing with 17 to 28-year-olds. Yeah. So 17-year-olds don't really need coffee.
They do now, though.
Yeah, do.
It's kind of here in the last 10, 15 already. Years.
Okay, so you eat quick, and then you are up and out the door to PT?
It all depends. So usually the first phase of boot camp, because there's 3 different phases. Well, now it's actually 4. They just implemented a new one. But in the first phase, that's where you'll do most of your PT and everything like that. So it's usually 3 days a week at least. Once you get done eating and everything, you'll go PT, and then your day just carries on from there. So it's always constantly moving, constantly going. Like, you're always on your feet. You always have your rifle with you. You always have all your gear with you and everything like that as well. So it's, like, nonstop. And like I said, you don't know what time it is. And you're like, all right, it's getting close to chow because your stomach will start growling. You know, all right, it's about time to eat again. And then after that, it just goes right back into training, or you'll go to classes and actually learn Marine Corps history and stuff like that. You actually take tests at boot camp. A lot of people don't know that. Like, we'll take a written test on things that we've learned and the knowledge that we learned about the Marine Corps on each phase. We'll do those. The first phase, that's mostly all that it really is. You're learning the basics of becoming a Marine and how to get dressed, how to act like a Marine, how to march like a Marine, and then how to hold yourself. After that, it gets into the fun stuff.
Where Patrick, he said, hold yourself.
Yeah. I'll let that one go. You couldn't let it go. Right. Still laughing at wet deck. So, you know.
There you go.
So, let's say we're 17 years old. I'm 17. I walk in and I go, okay, I just left the Air Force guy. They had a really good offer for me. What can the Marines offer for me?
What sense?
Wait.
Say that again.
Pride.
That's it. Wow. I have a really good friend from back home who joined the Marines, and that was this whole thing was he was determined to be a Marine.
So what you're saying is it was about Marines are the Texas of the military. No, but you know what I mean. Like that's the thing. You know, it's don't mess with Texas, and it's anybody who's ever lived in Texas watching or listening to this podcast, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Texas is different than everywhere else. It's a pride thing. Yeah.
They take pride in their state, the Texans do, just like the Marine Corps. We take pride in being Marines.
So do you have a – you don't have – you're not trying to get as many people as an Army recruiter, I'm guessing, or a Navy recruiter, because it's much smaller number of people getting into the Marines every year, right?
We are the smallest branch, like across the board.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're the smallest. We always have been.
Even smaller than the Coast Guard?
Well, now they're part of the DOD instead of the actual military, so they're part of the Homeland Security.
Okay.
They are small as well, but far as, like, they still go by all the same rules as the Navy. They just go by, like, they have their own little set of rules as well for the Coast Guard. But for us, I mean, they always say it, the few, the proud. We're looking for those individuals that are those few, because not everybody's cut out to be a Marine. We get that. But, you know, you have those certain ones that are just, they're driven to do that. Like, I know that's what I want to go do. Because it does. It takes a special kind of person to be a Marine. Because, like, he's talking about the pride. Like, that's something that no matter how old you get, you still have. once you earn the title Marine, it's yours.
Like, yeah, you see those old men with the red ball caps
with the red hats on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come in our office all the time just to shake our hand and
do they be really? Around
Marines. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And we had an older gentleman yesterday came in just to say happy birthday. That's all he wanted to do, say happy birthday, Marines, and he walked back out.
No. Was it?
That's kind of cool, man.
I wish we were more of that as a country. Mm-hmm. I wish we were more of what you just said. I wish that we had.
Like have somebody who just walked in and said, hey, I just want to say happy birthday to you because today's July 4th kind of thing.
You know, it's we've gotten so cynical and everyone's offended and it's we're out of control. You know, everybody's so this and that.
We're quick to pull the trigger.
I deserve
on
this
everything.
And I deserve that. We're just almost, we're getting, there are so many
whiny.
Bratty, whiny yeah. Americans. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I is so attractive about, not just the Marines, but there are fine people in the Air Force, in the Army, and in the Navy, and in Coast Guard. And there's that discipline. You know, you talk about guys who go in and women who go in and they change and they look differently, even in their eyes. It's because they've learned that it's not about you.
Right.
It's about, you're a team. This is a team. You guys don't know each other, but you guys would give your life for each other.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Wouldn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, people would be like, well, first off, there'd be a guy filming so we can get it on Facebook. All right.
They're doing a live Instagram.
You know, mm-hmm. It's just we as a country need to remember that.
We actually, it would be, you want me to die for you? Well, are you Republican or Democrat? That's a problem.
You talk about the change. I saw it. So I was 8 or 9 years old when my brother Barkley, he went into the Air Force. He was a bad kid. He was just, you know,
he was a troublemaker.
No, yeah, he, you know, and he had no direction. He wasn't going to go to college. He had no desire to do that. He didn't really have a skill set at that point, of course, because he's 18, 19 years old, and he had no direction. And I know that, and I've always loved my brother, but I know that the guy that left and the guy that came back were literally completely two different people. Mm-hmm. And my brother is one of the people I respect the most in my life. And I think he wouldn't be anything. He wouldn't be anywhere that he's been and done any of the things he's done if he hadn't gone into the military. For some people, that's you know, that's exactly what it takes.
They have to have that.
If he hadn't had that, if he had never been presented with that opportunity, and he was a year out of high school, so it was a late decision for him. If he hadn't been presented with that opportunity, he wouldn't have done he wouldn't have accomplished anything in his life compared to what he has.
I'm sure there are a lot of kids, high school kids that are that way, and you see them come in the recruitment office, or you see them and they approach you, and I bet a lot of them.
You said you were 23, and I mean that's really.
Did you feel you're just kind of floating around, like you're just kind of like, man, what am I doing?
Like I had some really good jobs. I did. I was a welder after I left home. Like I became a welder. I was working for Link Belt building cranes and stuff, and then I went and worked with the ironworkers for a little while. But there was just something else that was missing. Like there was like a void. I was like, what am I going to do? Like I was worried about the economy. People were getting laid off. People were losing their houses and everything like that. I didn't want to be that guy. I just recently got married about 3 years before that, and had a house and all that good stuff, you know, living the adult life, as everybody says, adulting. And I wanted to do something totally different, and I didn't want to put myself in any bad situation. And, you know, for the biggest part of it, whenever I actually did it, I called the recruiter, and he was like, how far away do you live? It's like an hour and 45 minutes. He's like, yeah, I'll come see you. That right there stuck out to me. He's going
to
come see me.
That he went to you instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just called it because I went and found his card at an office in the next town over. It was just one of their little offices where nobody stayed. It was just there in case they needed to meet people there. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I'll come see you. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. And then it went on. I got the ball rolling from there. And then 9 months later, I went to boot camp.
How long have you been a recruiter?
Right now, a little bit over a year and a half.
How about you?
A little bit over a year.
Okay. So I was going to ask maybe some of the people you've worked with can answer this better. But, like, you think that it's gotten harder with young – you know, everybody says, oh, these kids today. But, I mean, has it gotten tougher to get –
like, are you hearing stories?
I wouldn't say that it's gotten harder. It's a little bit more challenging in different aspects compared to our generation. For us, like, we were more driven to look towards the military because of what was going on in the world.
Right.
We had a little bit of a different mindset. Nowadays, it's everybody's focused on school. Everybody's focused on college because that's what everybody's telling them they need to do, like go get a degree. And they overlook the military aspect of it, like, oh, I can still go do that while I'm in the military. So, and I think that's the biggest challenge is finding those right individuals that can understand both, like, yes, I can do both things and still be successful later in life. I don't just have to focus on one thing.
What I think is wild is that you've got 17-year-olds who walk into your office to meet with you, and we've been at war their entire lives. They've mm-hmm. never known us not to be in a situation. There was a point where, and I know several guys that are really good friends of mine that they were in the military in between the Gulf War and the Iraq invasion. And they're like, man, it was the worst time to be in the military. Like right now, there's so much going on. You're so busy. You've got a mission.
Right.
And they kind of felt that in between that there was kind of like a, you know, you were preparing to run a race that you would never run. Right. And I just think I think if you're looking for something that is always moving, always changing, and always developing, right now the military is a good thing. And and don't be afraid by the – or don't be scared off by the, well, we're in this country, we're in that country. You know, we've always been in those countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things that if you want to be on the cutting edge of something – and I don't want to say the tip of the spear, but really the tip of the spear, well, that's it. That's your chance right there.
And that's one of the great things that – a lot of people don't realize, and it's going to sound crazy. Like, people say that the military is crazy because for all of us in any branch, like, once we're in and we're doing our thing, we want to deploy. Like that's our job. Like, we want to go be able to actually do our job and actually have that feeling of accomplishment. Like, yes, I'm actually doing something that matters. Now, for my part, on the Marine Corps side of the aviation, my side's a lot different than his. Our focus is to make sure pilots can land and load up their planes with whatever they need to get and accomplish their mission. For him, he's ground, like boots on ground. So he's right there doing the job, and his has a impact right away. Mm-hmm. I don't ever really get to see the impact because I'm just on the back part. I'm the support line. But for the guys that are up on the front, they depend on us. That's what a lot of people don't realize. It's one big team. Like, everybody has a job to support somebody else. Like, that's the great thing about it. It gives you a sense of pride in what you actually do.
So great. So great. Well, as we're, Veterans Day is approaching, and it is the Marines' birthday,
75.
Yep. That's a test.
I think these guys have some.
Oh, yeah, we got some goodies for you. Yeah.
Goodies in the bag here.
First off, Marines don't say goodies.
These are literally goodies. That's what it is.
It's cookies.
If it's goodies, like powder, out of it.
So you like coffee, right? Y'all drinking coffee and everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something in there for you for the coffee.
Okay.
Please be something that jumps out at me and scares me. Please be something that jumps out at me.
A little drill instructor head pops up. No.
Yeah.
Oh, a Marine View, the proud baseball cap. That'll be the only thing that fits me with the Marines.
They have socks.
Okay. This is cool. A Marines nice coffee stuff. Mug. Look at that.
There we go.
Oh, that's sharp. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah. That's really, we appreciate really nice. Y'all letting us come out here and do this.
So. Yeah, for sure. Thank you very, very much. So if someone is interested in being part of the Few and the Proud, the Marines, contact your local
recruiting
office, and go in and talk to him and talk to him about not only being in the Marines but also with the education part.
Yes, sir.
That's a big selling point for you guys. It really is.
I mean, we offer scholarships worth of up to $180,000 that a lot of individuals are not getting the information because they're stopping themselves. They're withholding. They're waiting for somebody to approach them.
Right.
We're there all the time. $180,000.
Wait, you're saying that other branches hide the fact that they have scholarship programs?
No, we all have the same scholarship program.
Oh.
But students, they're told, hey, I want to go to school. But the thing is we can help them go to school.
Yeah.
A lot of people, just because they hear military, they think they're going to be on the front line.
They think it's one or none. Mm-hmm. They don't realize they can do both.
Mm-hmm. They think they're going to be on the front line like what my job is. But I tell them all the time, we got over 330 different jobs. You can go be administration and still go to school at the same time. You can go be infantry and still go to school at the same time. Still go get your college education. But all they hear is military, and they stop that right there. So trying to open a door for them to help make them successful.
Well, guys, thanks for your service, man. It means a lot to us. And I know we joke around and we kid and stuff, and that's our job. But we really do appreciate what you guys do. And, you know, it's a big honor for us to be on AFN. You know, when you guys are able to, if you're deployed, you're able to listen to a little bit at home and some, you know, get away from whatever you're getting away from out on the field. And you can listen to us. And it means a lot to us that we have our military who are listening to us in, what, 200 and how many countries?
It's 177 plus. It changes. It just depends on, you know, like month to month, it goes up and down a little bit. But it's average about 177.
The old AFN decoder.
And their 360 app.
And their 360 app. That's right. And so from Aviano Air Base, Italy to, Afghanistan to... You name it. Our military men and women are there at the ready whenever we're sleeping. They are up in the middle of the night, gun in hand, ready to protect you and I, and we really do appreciate it. And having said that, I'd like to hand you guys one of our Big D and Bubba challenge coins.
Supposed to slam it on the counter?
Yeah, that's not the way you're supposed to do it.
I don't know. I thought that's how I was supposed to do it.
Supposed to go with a handshake.
Oh, no, coin, you're supposed to slap it on the table.
Well,
no.
I mean, they kind of broke protocol by giving us a goodie bag. So, I mean, everything is all different. It's all up in the air now. So, guys, thank you so much. Staff Sergeant Joshua Washington and Sergeant Justin Plymesser?
Yep, Plymesser.
Plymesser. That was close. It's pretty good. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. And happy birthday to the Marine Corps.
This was the podcast.
Oh, I forgot to do my other little thing
commercial.
Before I do it. Yes, I'm sorry. A lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. A lot can go wrong in 20 seconds with me. And your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear actually happens during warm-up. But Castrol GTX Magnatec has intelligent molecules. I'm about to cough. That cling to your engine like a magnet, providing you instant protection from the moment you start. Okay, we're good.
You guys are going to love this song. This is done by Garth Brooks, did this song.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Wait, the voice you're about to hear next is Big D's stalker.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little
creepy. We haven't explained that in a while.
Let's not explain that for a while.